guys, and somewhere it says on here, men of the church. The ladies did this, and guys, I got to tell you, the ladies actually followed instructions and did this. All right? Go to 1 John. 1 John. All right, 1 John. If you're having trouble finding 1 John, ask somebody for some help, but the easiest way to find it is go to the end of your Bible and back up. Back up through Revelation, and then Jude, and then you got 3rd, 2nd, and 1 John. I like you. I like you for a lot of reasons. I like you for a lot of reasons, and somebody today was talking about you, and said one of the reasons this place is so good for me, that's the way they put it, is because these people are so real. And I thought that's a good way to put it. So we talk about things. Sometimes it's what we talk about. It's what the things that have hurt us. We talk about those things. We talk about the things that thrill us. That's good too. Sometimes we just need each other, and we got to. Sometimes it's something as serious as, man, I'm going through an addiction. I need somebody to help me take the first step to sobriety. And sometimes it's something as simple as, we did it not long ago. John Indio. Was moving into a new apartment, needed a microwave. Somebody said, hey, we need a microwave. And somebody said, I got one, and took care of it. I found out today, John Indio needs a mattress. If you've got somewhere in your locker of storage or attic, or if you could take it off your kid's bed, I don't care. I don't think he cares, all right? But he needs a full size or a queen mattress. If anybody's got one, Indio, would you hold up your hand so they know who you are? And Catherine works with Indio. Did y'all see that? Do that again, Indio, so they know. Yeah. You have never seen that in church anywhere. Anyway. All right. See, Catherine works with John. If you want to ask, tell Catherine, or if you want to tell John, you saw where he's sitting. Ernest was sitting right about here. He was on a Sunday morning, and we were talking about things we wanted to be different, things that we needed to have different in our lives. It was right at the beginning of the year. And I don't know that you'll remember, but I will never forget it. Ernest was sitting right there, and he said, Ernest doesn't speak up. He's not one of those guys that chatterboxes, right? When he held up his hand and looked at me and got my eye, I thought, he wants to say something. And Ernest said, here's what I want for my life. I want to know Jesus better. Now, folks, I've sat in church before and heard people say that. I've sat in church before and heard people say that and not felt like they meant it like Ernest meant it. But Ernest, in spite of where he's been, in spite of what he's done, said that day, I want to know Jesus better. I want a better relationship with him. I mean, something triggered in me, and the first thing I thought, when he said it, I thought, that's it. That's what we had to study. We had to read it together. On Wednesday nights, that was when it was decided that we were going to read 1 John together. Because the letter was written so we could know Jesus. Now, you understand what I mean by the word know. There's a difference between the fact that this is my granddaughter, by the way, if you don't know, all right? And I said, come up here and sit by me. And she went, oh, really? How old are you? How old are you, Ashley? Who's 21? I need somebody 21 years old. And we're going to talk, at some point we have to talk about lying. Yes, yes. Yeah. I can see right now we got to work on lying. All right. Who's 20? Anybody 20? Anybody tell the truth about being 20? Anybody 19? Okay, I'll have to take 20. What did you say? 22. I know Ashley. And I know Brooke. What's the difference between the two words? They are different. What's different about the words? The depth of how I know them. Give me another way to say it. One is experience. I have experienced this child. Oh, and I got stories to tell you that'll last forever. And I don't have time to tell many, but I got to tell you one. Well, this child, when she was born, was a prodigy. I'm telling you, she was not like any other kid. She had a way of communicating. I promise that you think I'm lying. I am not lying. I have people who will testify. She did not cry like the normal baby would cry. She would trill her tongue. When she was happy, it would go kind of like a cat purring. When she was mad, which happened occasionally, it would get high-pitched. It'd go real high, real loud. I can remember preaching before, right in the middle of a lesson, I'd be going, and the Lord said, and she would go, and the whole place would turn and look. She had all, this girl is multi-talented. And now the point is, I know her by experience. I know the little things about her. I know the look on her face. I know what her head feels like because I've rubbed it so many times. I know what her face looks like when she's angry. I know how she sounds when she's sad. John writes this letter and says, I knew Jesus that way. I experienced Jesus, y'all. I saw his face. I know how he looks when he's happy. I know how he looks when he's angry. I know how he looks when he's sad. He knows. I was hoping he'd trill his tongue because he did that the other day. Yeah, he did it in my office the other day. I wanted him to be. This is the baby that did that I was telling you about. Be nice, he'll throw you out of here. All right. John knew how Jesus felt. He had hugged his neck. Maybe, I don't know if they'd wrestled together. They did arm wrestling. You lose if you arm wrestle the Son of God. But I mean, they shook hands. They hugged each other. He had touched him, it says. And he had heard him. He could hear the tone in his voice when he was sad. He could hear the tone in his voice when he was upset. He could hear the tone in his voice when he was pleading for people to obey him. And John said, do you want that kind of connection to Jesus? He said, I want you to have that connection. And I guess it's time maybe to ask. If you came for the fried chicken, man, we're glad you're here. Yeah, that's a truth. And you can come any Wednesday night and eat whatever we got and not have the same feeling I've got. You don't have to feel like I feel about this. But I'm telling you now, I want that kind of connection with Jesus. Do you? Because if you do, he's going to tell you how you can get it. Chapter 1 says, for those people who want that connection with Jesus, Jesus would do something for them. What will he do for them? That's right, baby. That's right. That was not my granddaughter. That was Bouncer. All right. Chapter 1, verse 7. We've got to do this quick. Chapter 1, verse 7. What will Jesus do for us so we can have this same kind of connection, this same kind of fellowship, this same kind of experience with Jesus? He will purify us, clean us. The word there is he keeps on doing it, all right? So what does he want? What does he want us to do if we want that? What's our part in that? Now, this is Jesus' part of it. He's going to take care of that. But what's my part? Walk in the light. Or give me another one. You're exactly right. Not making light of what you just said. But there's one I think we need to hear more. Because it's not an illustration. It's a flat-out statement. You got to admit you sin. This old business of acting like, oh, I'm so good. It's not this like we've done in church before, grab our Bibles, carry it a certain way, walk a certain way, smile a certain way, sing a certain way, pray a certain way. Oh, yeah. Nuh-uh. Mm-mm. No, we want this relationship with Jesus. We want this connection with Jesus. We want this experience with Jesus. Our part in this is be honest and admit it. Now, that confess is not some special in some booth kind of confession. It's not some kind of special kind of program to do. It's being honest about it and admitting, I messed up, God, and what is Jesus? That's my part. What does Jesus say he'll do on his part? You're with us. What will he do? He will purify us and he'll keep purifying. Now look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, what's Jesus' side of this? He defends us. Look at it. Chapter 2, verse 1. He defends us. But what's my... Now that defends us does not mean he defends what you did. He defends you even though you did it. I said it right. He defends you even though you messed up, even though you did wrong, even though you committed sin. He defends you. What's my part in that? Do whatever it takes not to sin and keep going in that section, and he'll tell you, obey Jesus. Obey Jesus. And that means you do whatever you got to do to stop that sin. You do whatever you got to do to be like Jesus. You obey him. All right, next, chapter 3, what does he say? What's his part? 19 and 20, I'll give you a hint. Yeah, he sets our hearts at rest. He reassures us. He reassures us. Somebody put in your words what you would say if you were trying to reassure somebody. If you were trying to reassure somebody, what words would you use? Say it again. It's going to be okay. I'm going to change that just a little bit. Anybody want to help me? It's not going to be okay. It is okay. I have no idea. I don't know why I did it. Have no idea why I did it. Probably I had a brother put me up to it. But I don't know. My mother had one gift that she had been given by her mother when she left home. They were very poor folks, and when my mom left home and was going to get married, and my dad and her were going to move into their own home and stuff, my grandmother, my mother's mother, gave her a china cup and saucer. Just one setting. Just a cup and a saucer, and that was it. And that was the gift she gave. I heard about that all my life and saw it. At some point, my dad built my mom a bookcase. It went from the floor to the ceiling. You know where the TV is now and all the elephants used to be? That was one bookcase from the floor to the ceiling. And at the very top of that, on that bookshelf, was that cup and saucer. And it was the most honored place, and with four boys in the house, it was the safest place in the house. And she told us all the time. She told us all the time, do not climb the bookcase. Now, why do you have to tell people not to climb a bookcase? It would make sense to me that you wouldn't climb a bookcase, but sometimes you just can't explain children, especially those who are just uniquely talented and curious and angelic and wanting to see if they can fly. I crawled up the bookcase. Have no idea why. I just wanted to look at Grandma's little China thing. I was a little bitty guy, crawled up the bookcase, laid up on the top shelf, and I'm just, folks, I'm just looking at it. I'm not doing anything. I'm not touching it. I'm just looking at it. And while I'm looking at it, it begins to wobble. Really, I didn't touch it. I'm sure I didn't touch it much, but it started to wobble, and then it tilted, and folks, it went off the edge. And you know how things go in slow motion when your life is passing before you? I'm up on top shelf and I'm watching that. It hit the floor and exploded. Oh my. I start coming down, you know. Just as I start coming down, she comes around the corner. She looks down, sees it, doesn't know what it is, but looks up, afraid of what it is, and looks up and sees that it's her cup. And he sees me climbing down. Oh. She dropped to her knees and started crying. I came down, and I started trying to put the pieces back together. I tried my best. I was getting all the pieces. I was going to glue it back together and make it like it was new, and she'd never know it was broken. And I was going to take care of all that and do all that, and I'm picking up the pieces. And she takes my hands. She takes the broken pieces out of my hands. She said, "Rex, stop. It's okay." But I keep picking it. I keep trying to pick up the pieces. And every time I pick up a few pieces, she grabs my hands and takes the pieces out and says, "Rex, it's okay." I can't look at her because my heart's broken and I'm sad. I'm apologizing all through my tears, trying to pick up the pieces. "I'm going to fix it, Mama. I'm sorry. It's going to be okay. I'm going to fix it." And she finally grabs my hands, holds them, looks me in the eye, and says, "Honey, it's okay. It's okay." I wanted punishment. I would have felt better had I been punished, I believe. My mother knew I didn't need to be punished. She just loved me. And she reassured me that in spite of what I had done wrong, it was okay. Folks, silly illustration, one eternal point. We have messed up. We have broken vows. We have cheated, we have lied, we have used, we have deceived, we have hurt, we have damaged, we have destroyed. And we're trying to pick the pieces up, trying to make them all fit, and God's trying to get a hold of our hands and our hearts and say, "Listen to me, I'm greater than you are. Listen to me, I know everything about you. I want you to rest. I want you to be reassured. It is okay." But it's not okay. I understand what you're saying. You're right. I shouldn't have been there. You're right. I shouldn't have done what I did. But the point is, what's God saying? It's okay. I know that's the truth. I know that's the truth because I heard Him say it. A woman caught in the act of adultery deserves to be stoned to death. And He says to her, "I'm not going to condemn you." Say it another way, it's okay. The adultery okay? Not a chance. She and her relationship with Jesus okay? Yeah, it's okay. So what's my job? If that's His job, what's my job? What was my job when my mama had my hands? What was my job when my mama, through her tears, was looking at me telling me, "It's okay, it's okay, it's okay"? What's my job? Say it. Receive it. Rest. What'd you say? That's right. I didn't climb that bookshelf ever again. Yeah. Don't keep doing that thing that got you hurt. So rest. That's your part. Chapter 4 is what we're talking about tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, and then we'll study it. Is He loves you. Guys, we've grown up. Those of us who grew up going to church. This amazes me. Those of us who grew up going to church, you've heard it so often, it doesn't even register us anymore. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." We know the verse. We can tell you where the verse is quoted or written. We can quote it. We have our children quote it. We've got bumper stickers. We've got bookmarks. We've got tattoos. In fact, at any football game in the end zone, any baseball game in the behind home plate, or at a tournament at the 18th green, somebody, and used to be in the old days, an old boy with a colored wig, rainbow-colored wig, used to be holding a sign, John 3:16. But we've become so enamored, or so calloused, enamored maybe. We've gotten so coated and calloused by that, we've forgotten what that means. I heard it this week and was reminded. kids sitting in my office in jail. They had a spiritual kind of weekend. And I said, what was it like? He said, I heard something I'd never heard before. I said, really? I said, what was it? He said, did you know? And he asked me like I didn't know. He said, did you know God loved us so much that he let his son die for us? And I'm telling you, it was amazing listening to it come from a kid who didn't know and had never heard it before. What happens if you could hear it for the very first time again? God loves you so much that he gave his son to let you know just how much he loved you. Read it. Dear friends, we're in verse 7. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Circle it, underline it, nail it down, memorize it. 1 John 4, verse 8, and thank you for, yeah. Please do that. If I misstate it, please let me know. If I don't say it, let me know. If you didn't hear it, let me know. Because it does us no good to say it if we're not going to hold on to it. So here's the truth. Here's the truth. Here's the fact. Here's the law of gravity, folks. God is love. That's a settled issue. Listen to me. That's a settled issue. If in your Bible reading you ever read anything that makes you think that God doesn't love us, then you've misunderstood. So you need to go back and read it again, or you go find somebody that can help you understand it. Because the truth is, no matter what you read, no matter who it says about, God is love. It's settled. It's a done deal. Now, if that's true, and it is, at least I believe it is, that's also true in my life. That no matter where I am, no matter what circumstance I'm in, no matter what mess I've made or what I've come through, the truth is God is love. I hear people say it. I say, well, man, I think God's trying to tell me something. And usually it's a negative thing, that he doesn't love me, that he's against me. God love you when you're homeless. God love you when you got a house bigger than you can pay for. God love you when you got no money, that so much, you got so little money you can't even have debt. And God love you when you got so much money that that's all you got is debt. God love you when you've been married for 150 years and never had a crossword between you. Yeah. Does God love you when you've been married 3 minutes and can't say anything nice about each other? Yeah. God love you. God love you when you're so worthless that you are an enemy of God and an enemy of your family and an enemy of your neighbors and an enemy of yourself. Yeah. God love you when you're trying to do right and you're trying to rebuild your life. Yes. The truth is God is love. Things tough in your life right now. Some of us know something about that, don't we? God is love. Anybody got anything to worry about? Anything got anybody to anything to be afraid of? Anybody got anything that you're upset about? Yeah, yeah, yeah. God is love. It's a settled issue, folks. Keep reading. He sent his one and only son. That's how God showed his love to us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, there's lots of things to discuss here. I'm going to pick one phrase. It's the word atoning. God did enough. God said it enough. God showed it enough. God proved it enough that he loves us. Yeah, but you don't understand, man. I got a call from the doctor and I'm sick. I'm telling you, God did enough to let us know He loves us. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've lost people I love, and I hate that. Then nobody's making light of that. But God loves you. It's on record. It's nailed down on a cross in a place called the skull. And He doesn't just love you. You remember the little kid thing, how much do I love you? And God said, I love you this much. Nah, what did we learn in Ephesians? It's not just how wide He loves you. It's how long He loves you. It's not just how long He loves you. It's how deep He loves you. Not just how deep He loves you. It's how wide He loves you. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. You can't get by it. God loves you. It's a settled deal. One time for all time, settled issue. Now, He keeps loving you, but He proved it. And it's a done deal, y'all. So, here's what happens. I love you. But you've said it to me in this room or in my office. We've talked about this. And you said, I just don't understand why God loves me. I just don't feel like I deserve His love. All right, time out, time out. Do we deserve His love? No. So get it settled. Get over it. Do we deserve His love? No. But He loves you. But that doesn't make sense to me. Well, it shouldn't make sense to you. You're a human. God thinks it makes perfect sense, right? Well, I just don't understand why. Now, I've told you this, and I'm going to keep repeating this because this keeps coming up in conversation. I just can't figure out why God loves me. I just can't figure out why He loves me. You know why you're trying to figure out why God loves you? Would somebody explain that to me? Why am I trying to figure out why God loves me? I'm having a hard time believing that He can, and I'm trying to figure out some way that maybe if I can understand why, then that maybe kind of buys me some understanding. Guess what? Yeah. God said it. It's love. Yeah, that's right. God says it. That's it. That this love that comes from God is unknowable. Ephesians 3 says you cannot comprehend. You cannot comprehend the love of God. So what do you need to do? Does anybody remember Sunday? What do? You grasp it. You hang on to it. Don't you let go of it. Yeah, but I can't explain it. You betcha I'm still going to ride it, aren't you? Yeah, but I don't trust it. Yeah, you better, because it's true. Well, I don't know that I can explain it. I guarantee you, you can't. Let Him do it. Go. Hang on to it. Don't let go of it. Does He love you? Does He know you? I heard somebody say one time, I was telling them, I was trying to, and it, I had it backwards back then. I'd be trying to tell somebody, said, no, really, you're okay. You're a good person. I love you. And their response 9 times out of 4 would be, yeah, but you don't know what I'm like. You don't know what I'm really like. Well, that's true. I didn't. I don't know what you're like. I know what she's like. But I don't know what you're like. When the lights are off and the doors are closed, and nobody's around, I don't know what you're like. Guess what? I don't have to know. God is love. Yeah, but I've messed up. God is love. Yeah, but things are tough. God is love. Yeah, but I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God is love. But I don't know why He loves it. God is love. Yeah, but I've done bad things. God is love. Get the point? So what do? Accept it. Hang on to it. Grab it and don't let go. God is love. Now keep reading. Dear friends, I love that. He's fixing to say something pretty pointed. Dear friends, since God so loved us, You say it so you know I'm not making it up. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay. Where do we start? I'll start over here with Rick. Does God love Rick? So if I love God, guess what? Guess what? I love Rick. If God loves him, and I love God, that means I love him too. Do I have to like that he's tall? No, I'm taller than you, aren't I? Yeah, I love old Rick. At that retreat we went to the other day, we figured out Rick was the only guy in that line that I was taller than. I stood by him at every prayer. Didn't I? I did tiptoe. But you don't have to tell everything, you know. There you go. You could say it a little bit more sincerity next time. God love Ernest. I was talking about you earlier and you weren't here, but this is Ernest. God love Ernest. Does God love Ernest in spite of where he's been? In spite of what he's done? Yes. In spite of how he feels about himself? In spite of how anybody across the street or down the road may feel about him? Yes, yes, and yes. So if I love God, guess what? I love him. That's true. I love him. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you. I am not going to be one of these sicky, kind of sweetie, kind of, I just love you so much, Ernest. No, I'm not going to. I always hated that at church where people would come up to you and say, I just love you so much, and they want to hug you. Put your hand on your wallet and run, buddy. But Ernest, I love you. And I loved what you said the other day about wanting to know Jesus better. I love you. I appreciate you. I like you. Rick, I love you. The fact, that's a big deal, y'all. Oh, you look at what God's done in Rick's life, and that just gives you reason to love him. But if there's no reason in the world to love him, we love him, right? Y'all, this is Clarence. We haven't seen Clarence in about 6 years, all right? Or maybe it's been 2 weeks. I can't remember. I have a hard time remembering. Does God love Clarence? In spite of where he's been? In spite of what he's done? In spite of what may be going on inside his heart from any moment when he goes from confident and courageous to Chicken Little? I love your Chicken Little. I've got a picture I'm going to show you one of these days. I saved it. I know blackmail. Does God love him? Guess what? I love you. That's truth. That's the truth. He doesn't like chocolate cake, so I got some questions, but I love him, right? You hear what I'm saying? God love Brad? I love Brad. God love Roger? I love Roger. And if I had time, I'd go down the whole list, because the truth is I do. I don't just love you, I like you, but I love you. I don't have a choice in the matter, honest, right? I don't have a choice in the matter, honest, do I? Now, if I did have a choice, I'd still agree to, it's a good deal. But if God loved me in spite of where I've been, if God loved me in spite of what I've done, if God loved me in spite of who I am and what goes on inside my head and heart and a constant pitching back and forth, why in the world wouldn't I love you? Make sense? God love us. God love you. Then guess what? We ought to love each other that way. Let it sit for a minute. If God loved us like that, don't you think we ought to love each other like that? Yep. So since he loves me, that's his part. What's my part? Love. I said it today to somebody. I said, it's like us being a funnel. God's love comes in, and then I stopped. I said, no, I don't like that funnel illustration. Because the mouth of a funnel is huge, isn't it? It's wide. It wants all the love. Come on, God, pour it in here. And then what's the other end of the funnel like? I'll give you a little bit. No, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that way. If I'm going to have a better relationship with Jesus, if I'm going to experience Jesus, and I'm going to let Him love me like He loves me, and rely on it like I need to rely on it, have confidence in it like He's going to tell me to have confidence in it, then I want to pass it on just like He passed it to me. And let the gate be wide open. What God gives me, I want to give to somebody else. Let's pray. Father, thanks for loving us. Oh, in spite of what we've done, in spite of what we've said, in spite of how we've acted and the way we've reacted, in spite of being selfish and lazy and deceitful and stupid and foolish and hateful, gossips and bitter and backbiters and all that stuff. God, I apologize for every shameful thing I ever said or did. God, thank You for loving me. Thank You for loving everybody sitting in this room. And God, help us. Help us pass this love on to someone else. Whether it's Chad and Philippe in a place where we can't get to them, or it's Iris waiting to recover, or it's the person sitting across the table or down the table from us whose heart's broken or sad or guilty or afraid, let Your love flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, folks.